appreciate the validation of one of our stories. It ain't fake news. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires you. So get involved, right? Wake people up. Spread the good word. Tag your...
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
All right, welcome to a Thursday. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you, well, live at 3 o'clock Eastern at NicoleSandler.com. Of course, through the magic of tape delay and podcasting and technology, if you're listening at any other time. And however you listen, I'm glad you do. Thank you for joining us. It's Thursday. And we're doing business as usual as much as we can these days. Howie Klein will be along. And if you recall, last week, we got all the Biden-Bernie stuff out of our systems, kind of, sort of. And the last thing I said to Howie right before we left was next week we need to get back to the elections, because we're 200 days away from November 3rd, from the elections in which not only hopefully we replace Donald Trump, get him the hell out of the White House, but we elect more progressives to Congress. We, the Democrats, hold the House and take back the Senate. But we've got a lot of work to do. And frankly, our eyes have been taken off the ball because of the little nasty virus that's going around. So we'll talk to Howie, as usual, about the bottom of the hour. Today we are also going to continue our quarantine calling. Now, I had decided I was going to do these on Fridays, reach out around the world to talk to other shut-ins on other corners of the globe. But tomorrow we have a really, really busy day. Let me explain. I already mentioned that the one and only Kelly Carlin is going to join us tomorrow. Yes, George Carlin's daughter, who is very funny in her own right, but she's also a life coach. She's a a therapist. She's got her master's, and if you read her book, which I'll tell you all about tomorrow, she goes into great detail how she got her master's in, I guess it's psychotherapy, but she's not a psychologist, but she does these seminars. I did a workshop with her over Zoom a year or so ago, and it was wonderful. So I asked Kelly if she would join us tomorrow for a guided meditation, because God knows we need it, right? We're all going through something monumental in our lives, and we have no idea yet the toll it's going to take on our mental health, our collective mental health. And so we need to do some work on ourselves and for ourselves to maintain whatever mental health we have. So Kelly Carlin will help us tomorrow, and I figured Friday was a good time to do that. I never would have ever before put someone on the air to do a guided meditation, because radio listening is usually done in the car. These days, however, we're all at home, so I thought, all right, we can do it. We'll do it. So, yeah, Kelly's awesome. In addition to Kelly, now tomorrow at 12 noon, I'm going to tape an interview with Ali Velshi. Yeah, and I'm a big Ali Velshi fan. And now, a couple of months ago, I criticized him when he first took over the early morning weekend slot on MSNBC, because I perceived his coverage as being very stilted against Bernie Sanders. And I called him out on it on Twitter, as I want to do. And we had a nice back and forth. He engaged me, much as Lawrence O'Donnell did a couple of months back. And long story short, Ali Velshi accepted my invitation to come on the show and talk about news in these weird times. So because of his crazy schedule over there, we're going to tape it tomorrow at noon. But I will play it back in the first half hour tomorrow, and then we'll wrap up the day and the week with Kelly Carlin. So we're not going to have time tomorrow to do quarantine calling. So we'll do it today, and we're going to reach out to Finland. Okay. But before we do, I think we need a little song. We need a little pick-me-up. And for that, we once again call on the brilliance of this group who goes by the name of Founders Sing. They've got a handful now of videos up on YouTube. Founders Sing is the account name. As usual, I'll post this on the blog at NicoleSandler.com after the show so you can watch the video. Because if you're just listening to the audio stream and you're not seeing the video, you're missing at least half of the fun. Part of this Founder Sing group is they do wonderful magic with animation. So if you're listening to the audio stream later on, go to NicoleSandler.com. You'll see under recent shows, just click on today's, or go NicoleSandler.com/4-16-20, and you'll get to today's show. I'll embed the video there right now. And again, you can listen to the song because it's pretty cool. But if you're seeing the video, so much the better. However you hear it or see it, enjoy Founder Sing.
What would you think if I asked for a mask? Would you tell me it's up to the states? Now touch in my stockpile till you kiss my ass. Better praise me or you seal your fate. Oh, we'll get by with a little help from the feds. We'll survive with a little help from the feds. It is I who gets the help from the feds. From 15 to 0, that lie that you spewed, you were wrong, and now thousands are dead. Oh, yeah. My big brain was certain it's only a flu. Who needs science when there's Fox instead? Oh, we'll get by with a little help from the feds. We'll survive with a little help from the feds. My stocks rise with a little help from the feds. You just treat everybody the way a criminal does. I just flee. I don't know the meaning of love. You're dead.
nailed by the fans.
Awesomeness. Ah. Founder Sing is the name they go by. Founder Sing on YouTube. Again, I'll embed that video. And in case you only heard the singing and you didn't know, it was Andrew Cuomo duetting with Donald Trump. It was quite brilliant. So, all right. There's your funny for the day. Yes, therapeutic, I believe. If you haven't gotten your check or your direct, well, you won't get the check yet, but the direct deposit may show up in your inbox. You never know. All right. Well, you know what? Let's not wait any longer. Let's get to our quarantine calling, shall we? I meant to pull out some audio. I was going to pull the It's a Small World music and use that as a theme. Maybe we'll do it for next week. Ran out of time. Instead, and I cheated a little bit. I called Finland a couple of hours ago because they're 7 or 8 hours ahead of us there. And so here's how that call went. All right. We are making another connection. It's a segment I've started calling quarantine calling, where I tell you how this came about. I stumbled upon this Facebook group called A View From My Window. And I've noticed these amazing photos that people are posting from all over the world of, as the name says, the view from outside their window as we're all stuck inside dealing with this coronavirus that has put the entire planet on lockdown. So joining me now from Vaasa, Finland, Hanna Turpinen. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Close? Yes, Hanna Turpeinen. Yeah, you pronounce it really well.
Oh, well, thank you. And it's a pleasure to meet you. You posted a gorgeous photo of a very snowy backyard. How's the weather in Finland today?
Well, right now, I'm sitting in my glass porch, so it's still sunny. It's about 10 degrees Celsius, so it's not too bad, but it could be warmer. But that day, we were already looking at springtime and tulips and other flowers blooming, and all of a sudden there was another snowstorm, so that sort of caught us by surprise.
Now,
we're over that now.
There are some states here in the U.S. that are also having horrible winter storms now, and it's April 16th today.
I noticed. Actually, I noticed in the group that you were mentioning, the wonderful view from my window group. So. Mm-hmm. So I noticed that there's a lot of snow in some northern parts.
Oh, yes.
Of the U.S. as well.
I happen to be in South Florida, so we're having a heat wave down here. It's been in the 90s, actually, Fahrenheit. It's quite warm. So
sounds
at least
wonderful.
We have that going for us. So if we're stuck, at least we can go out in the backyard and get some sun. How did this unfold in Finland, the whole staying at home? When did you guys get alerted that there was this pandemic brewing and that things were going to change?
Wow, when was that? Was sometime in February. It's actually, I find it kind of hard to keep track of time. I can't even, is it fourth or fifth week that I'm working from home now? I'm not even sure. But it was sometime at the end of February. First, it was still called an epidemic somewhere in northern Italy, parts of Switzerland, then suddenly Spain, Germany, and then it reached us as well. It's not all that bad yet, but the peak of the epidemic, we haven't reached that yet, I think.
Uh-huh.
They're about, Finland is quite scarcely populated, so there's a lot of space, so I think things are not evolving that fast here. So there are about, I'd say, 3,000 and a half cases right now. But we're still expecting the peak of the epidemic.
Yeah, it's scary. So is there an order to shelter at home, or is this voluntary? What's the mandate there?
Well, a bit of the both. We're not in a lockdown. We're not in a current quarantine state. We can move about freely outside, but gatherings above 10 people are prohibited. The schools are closed. The university, I work at the University of Vaasa, so we're closed. We can't even enter the buildings without permission, so we're working from home. So we're basically, a lot of people are working from home, but the shops are still open.
Oh, really?
We can go out to exercise. The restaurants are closed. Mm. They can only sell food as takeout
right.
Menus. And yeah.
Now, how is the medical care system in Finland?
In Finland.
Are you taken care of? It's a universal health care provided yes. by the government, paid for by your taxes?
Yeah. Yes, it's actually, it's excellent. We do pay a lot of taxes, but our social security system is really good. So we pay something if we end up in a hospital, but that's only like a really small fraction of the actual costs. And they're trying to flatten the curve so that in case there's a huge epidemic here, there'd be enough places in intensive care units. And as it seems right now, that's what they're managing to do. So people that end up in the hospitals are in moderate. I think some 200 or 300 have ended up in hospitals.
No, that's not bad. With a much smaller population over there than here, certainly, but it sounds like they've got a handle on it and people are at least observing the social distancing and trying to keep it from spreading.
And
right?
That's something really characteristic of my nation, I think. We're really known to keeping our personal space so that it's easy to follow the orders to not go too close to other people.
Uh-huh. Now, you said you work at the university. What do you do there?
Yeah. I work at the HR and I work with international HR. So I help new foreign or international researchers when they settle in and move to Finland. And when our researchers are going out for research exchanges to other countries. So this affects my job quite a lot, actually.
Oh, sure. I bet. Well, obviously the university is closed. All schools are here are closed as well. Kids are, parents are having to do homeschooling and work with e-learning programs. So it's a whole new world. Thankfully, my daughter is out of school, so I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But we're navigating different things. So at university, same thing there is public is higher education also included in your taxes? So when a child finishes high school, they get to go to university and that's also paid for?
Yes, it's free for all. So there are entrance exams, but those who get in get a free schooling.
Wow. And you hear the incredulity in my voice because I'm sure you sound like you know what's going on and you know what the system is like over here in the U.S.
It's I do.
Insane.
Yeah. So I have a 10-year-old son, I don't have to worry about getting him to school or start saving for his university education. That's sort of included in my monthly taxes that I pay.
Wow. So. Yeah. Here, there's a lot. So many people are now unemployed because with businesses shutting down, people as of today, 5.5 million
horrible.
More people filed for unemployment benefits in this past week, bringing it to 22 million people in just 4 weeks. So the unemployment is crazy. And unfortunately, in this nation, it's so nuts that your health care in many cases is tied to your employment. It's provided. Insurance is provided by the employer. So all these people who are newly unemployed now find themselves without health insurance. And people are really scared because if they do get sick and go to the hospital, they're going to wind up with a huge bill that could bankrupt them, that could destroy their lives going forward. It's really insane.
It's heartbreaking. It really breaks my heart even to think about that.
Yeah.
Another worry besides this virus itself.
Right. To have to think about paying for it. I'm wondering how, obviously here in the States, we think everything revolves around us. I'm wondering what kind of coverage there is of how we're handling it over here. We have, I don't know your views of him. My view of the guy in the White House right now is that he's an insane madman who is not only destroying this nation, but he's doing his damnedest to destroy the planet. We are in desperate straits over here with this guy in the White House and just hoping we make it to November so we can vote him out of office. I'm wondering what the coverage is like over there in Finland of him. Did the rest of the world see him as insane as most of us do?
Well, he gets a lot of highlights in the news.
Yeah, a lot of coverage,
now,
right?
Because, yes, coverage. The decisions are quite abrupt, like the decision to shut down the financing for the
WHO?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I
feel like when I make these calls to talk to people around the world, like I have to apologize for him to the rest of the world. I am so sorry that a faction of the people in this country voted this idiot into office. I'm mortified by him. And we're all just like holding our breath, hoping we make it through to November and can get him out of office, because it's not only embarrassing, but cutting off funding to the World Health Organization in the middle of a global pandemic, it's unconscionable. And so, again, I, on behalf of my fellow Americans, I apologize.
Politics. What can you do? Yeah.
What's the government like over in Finland?
In Finland, right now, we have a new government. Our prime minister is youngest female prime minister in the world.
Oh, really? So I thought that was New Zealand. That's Finland, huh?
she just started her term not too long ago, and boy, what a start of the term for her. But
good or bad?
Doing a great job, though. Tough decisions, but I'm really proud of her and her government. They're doing a good job.
Oh, that's great. So glad to hear it. And I think, look, we've got some young people in Congress that I'm hoping will work their way up, because it's time for a change in leadership. I'm also kind of upset about the choices we have to replace Donald Trump in November. We're down to Joe Biden, who was not my number one choice, but he'd be night and day better than Donald Trump. As I say all the time, my dog Jackson would do a better job as president than Donald Trump. So hopefully we'll be able to apologize to the rest of the world in a better way, at least come November, if we survive that long. I'm glad to hear that you've got a new young look. This is a trend, I guess, young women taking over, because the Prime Minister of New Zealand is also a young woman who's getting rave reviews for her work as well. So maybe this is a welcome new trend we're seeing.
I must say that they are doing a great job now. So all my best wishes and luck go to our new government.
Absolutely. Hannah Terpinian, it is so great to connect with you. That we're all in the same situation, no matter where we are on the planet. There's something it's comforting
amazing.
About and, that, right?
And I just somehow the group, the view of my window, makes it so real.
Yeah.
To see. Yeah. We're all struggling with the same thing now.
We are. And I don't think we've ever had a moment like this in world history before, where we were all going through a similar crisis together. And that's why I want to connect with people. I'm so glad you took a few minutes to talk with us today. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'd love to
it's
one
a pleasure
day in person.
To meet you too.
Thank you so much, and stay warm there in Finland. And
we will now. Summer is coming up, so it's going to get sunnier and it's going to get warmer.
Awesome.
So that's one positive thing.
Yeah, it is. It's after 7 p.m. there now, and I see it's still light outside. How late does it stay light?
Right now, maybe until 9 o'clock wow. in the evening. But you know, we're looking at a period when the sun will never set. So
uh-huh.
when it's midsummer here, it's gonna the sun is gonna shine all night through. So
that's why
we'll need our thick black curtains again to be able to sleep.
And what? How warm does it get when the sun is out 24 hours a day?
The summers are really nice. About 20, 25 degrees, I'd say.
Celsius, yeah. So that's... So
for us, it's sort of a perfect temperature.
I hear you. All right, well, I'm spoiled. You know, I live in South Florida, so I don't deal with snow or any of that.
And I do envy your heat wave right now, I must say.
Well, I'll send a little heat your way.
Thank you.
Virtually, anyway.
Stay safe.
You too. And it's a pleasure meeting you and talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Her name is Hannah Terpenian, or thereabouts. I don't know about you, but maybe it's self-indulgent. But I love connecting with people all over the world. And this Facebook group, if you're on Facebook, I think you need an invite to join the group. So if you want an invite to, it's called View From My Window. And there's something like 750,000 members of this group now, people from every corner of the world posting pictures from the view outside their window as they're all shut in, hoping this virus passes us by. It is a small world, after all. All right, we'll do it again. We'll keep this up. In fact, this weekend I'm going to connect with a woman whose parody videos we played yesterday. She lives in New Zealand, and she's doing these creative songs. So, it makes the world a little smaller as we're all stuck inside our little homes. All right, we've got Howie Klein coming up in about 5 minutes. So I'll tell you what, let's get to the news while we can, if we can. You know what? We'll do the recorded version, all right? Because it's easier that way. Take it away, Nicole.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump on Wednesday threatened to use a never-before-used presidential power to adjourn the Senate so he could make recess appointments to fill judicial vacancies and administration jobs without Senate approval. The House and Senate have stopped doing business until at least May 4th. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, but the Senate has continued brief so-called pro forma sessions every 2 days, a common practice used to prevent presidents from making recess appointments. Well, Trump slammed the practice.
The Senate should either fulfill its duty and vote on my nominees, or it should formally adjourn so that I can make recess appointments. If the House will not agree to that adjournment, I will exercise my constitutional authority to adjourn both chambers of Congress. The current practice of leaving town while conducting phony pro forma sessions is a dereliction of duty that the American people cannot afford during this crisis. It is a scam what they do. It's a scam, and everybody knows it.
You're a scam.
And it's been that way for a long time.
Shut up. Politico explains the absurdity of the threat, telling what would have to happen first. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell would have to bring the Senate back, and they'd have to vote to adjourn. Speaker Nancy Pelosi would then have to bring the House back, and the House would have to amend the Senate's adjournment resolution, essentially voting against it. Then the Senate would have to disagree with the House's amendment. Only then could Trump adjourn Congress, this all according to the experts. But that's just one more example of how to spell hypocrisy. Donald Trump can't complain about his nominees being stalled when he's remade the judiciary with 193 new judges. I have two words in response: Merrick Garland. Also on Thursday, Trump is expected to announce his plan for advising states on how they can relax coronavirus restrictions and reopen businesses. Trump attempted to enlist businesses in the push by name-checking some executives and claiming they would be part of his outside advisory council. However, many of them had not heard anything about it before Trump invoked their names in the Rose Garden with a Sharpie. Trump then hosted a series of conference calls with the executives, but most of them urged the White House to focus more on mass testing, as experts continue to argue that widespread testing is a key prerequisite to reopening the economy. Well, the new weekly unemployment numbers are out, and another 5.2 million Americans filed for unemployment compensation in the past week, bringing the total to over 22 million in just 4 weeks. And Wednesday brought the devastating news that retail sales in March plunged 8.7%, the largest decline by far in the nearly three decades the government has tracked that data. Previously, the biggest monthly decline in retail sales was in the fall of 2008, when there was a drop of under 4%. Analysts warn that since most non-essential businesses didn't even start shutting down until halfway through the month, that as bad as the March number is, April is going to be worse. Meanwhile, governors of 20 states that have been spared the worst of the coronavirus pandemic are looking at starting to reopen their economies around May 1st, this according to top public health officials. Trump on Wednesday said that the U.S. had passed the peak for new coronavirus cases and that on Thursday he'd unveil new federal guidelines for reopening the country slowly. Leading federal public health officials have warned that restarting businesses and easing lockdowns too soon could spark more infections. Something else happened at Wednesday's 2 hours of commandeered television time, as Donald Trump again told lies, placed blame, and otherwise misled the public watching about why his name would appear on those stimulus checks we're all waiting for.
Name added to these coronavirus relief checks?
Well, I don't know too much about it, but I understand my name is there. I don't know where they're going, how they're going. I do understand it's not delaying anything, and I'm satisfied with that. I don't imagine it's a big deal. I'm sure people will be very happy to get a big, fat, beautiful check, and my name is on it.
Unbelievable. Well, the Washington Post is calling foul, reporting that the effort to put Dear Leader's name on millions of economic impact payment checks began shortly after Trump signed that $2 trillion legislation on March 27th, after privately suggesting to Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin that he be allowed to formally sign the checks. Trump finally settled for having his name printed in the memo section. Ugh. This will be the first time a president's name appears on an Internal Revenue Service disbursement. And the trolls have taken to the streets. Yes, members of conservative groups in Michigan jammed the streets of the state's capital on Wednesday in protest after Governor Gretchen Whitmer, a Democrat who has sparred with Trump over the outbreak response, extended state orders to the end of the month and added more restrictions. Some right-wing media personalities are also egging on the unrest, of course, arguing that such restrictions suffocate Americans' personal rights. Either way, this is going to go on for a while. State health experts say there's no immediate relief in sight for lockdown measures, which stem the virus's spread. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Just click on that donate button. All right, you know what time it is, don't you? Get ready to mix up those Dirty Debbies.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, another week gone by. Hey, Howie Klein.
Not quite gone by yet.
Well, since I spoke to you last, it's gone by.
Oh, yes, since we spoke, there have been 7 days. That's
yes,
great.
It has. And so this is like the third week that we're quarantining, sheltering at home. How are you holding up? You going with the flow? You doing okay?
Oh yeah, I shelter at home all the time anyway, so this isn't much of a difference for me. I don't get to go out to eat in restaurants,
right?
But I find that really refreshing, and I was telling Roland last night that maybe we won't do that anymore anyway, because cooking is something that's a great joy, and we eat better and more healthy and
less expensive.
Yes, and less expensive. That's right. So, but the main thing for me is that the food is much more nutritious when we make it ourselves. I shouldn't say we make it ourselves, when I make it myself, although he washes the dishes.
Well, that's the deal we have going here. When I cook most nights, not all night, but most nights. But I cook, David cleans. When he cooks, I clean. So, you know, teamwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so is it not a lot of change for me? You know, there's some. But I find myself swimming more than I was before. The weather is suddenly beautiful, although we have some bad days. But when the weather is nice, I go out and hike, and I'm loving that. I take a hike for a couple of miles in the woods behind where I live, and it's really beautiful. So
that's nice.
Yeah, I'm thank God, and I'm very appreciative of the fact that I'm lucky, and I know there are a lot of people who are going nuts, who are stuck in a one room studio or something like that, or I have friends who are in apartments in Manhattan on the 12th floor and they can't manage to get down because of elevator etiquette.
Oy.
One of my friends told me he hasn't been out of his apartment in over a month.
Wow.
And people are paranoid and people are freaked out. I feel a lot of sympathy for people. But, thank God things are okay for me. And thank you.
Absolutely.
For asking.
And, you've got to be careful, as I. I mean, look, between David and my daughter, Allison, anytime we need to go out and get something, one of them goes. The only time I've been out in the last, I'd say, 3 weeks is to walk the dog around the block. And again, you and I are both cancer survivors. I think you're still on medication and stuff. I'm just down a lung, but we're both high risk. We can't afford to get sick because we're the kind of people who, don't make it. So,
yep.
Yeah.
That's true. Although my doctor told me that, she said that my immune system is shining and
really, good to hear
that. It's not going to be a major problem if I get it, and it's not a death sentence.
Oh, nice. Well, good. That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. That's always good news. So, Howie, I've started this new feature on the show. It sprung out of a Facebook group that I happened upon called View From My Window, where people all over the world are posting pictures of the view from their window as they're sheltering inside to stop the spread of the virus. It's so cathartic. And so I started reaching out to them, and I've now spoken to three or four. I spoke to someone in Denmark, an American in Italy, somebody in Australia, New South Wales. And then just earlier today, I spoke with a woman in Finland. And, it's just wonderful to talk with people and connect and realize we're all going through the same shit, just different place. But I always... I ask them about how healthcare works in their countries, and it's always just depressing to me that we are so far behind the rest of the world. Every other person that I speak to, bar none, is just shaking their head in shame when I talk about the need for an insurance card and to pay copays and deductibles and not having insurance and getting sick. I mean, we live in the Stone Ages here.
Yeah, well, I lived overseas for 7 years, so I experienced what it's like in other countries. And, it was kind of shocking when I got back to the U.S. and saw that I was in the Stone Ages, as you put it.
Uh-huh.
And, people were screaming at me on my Facebook page because of my lack of enthusiasm for Joe Biden, who said that even if the Senate and the House passes Medicare for All, he would consider vetoing it.
Wow. Well, this morning I forwarded you a Facebook comment made by Jeff Charlotte, who was on this program yesterday. And so we had the discussion. He's like us, has no use for Joe Biden, not only is not a fan, but is mortified by the idea that he's going to be the nominee. But, you know, I heard AOC yesterday in an interview. I don't know if you heard this clip, but basically she said, look, it's either going to be Trump or Biden. And, you know, I guess I got to go with Biden. You said you agreed with everything Jeff Charlotte said, although not necessarily with his outcome, which was vote for the hack, the one that's not actively trying to kill you.
Well, yeah, I really like Jeff Charlotte a lot. I've read a couple of his books. Mm-hmm. I saw the Netflix thing that he was the executive producer of, The Family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really admire him. And I after you told me about it, I did read that Facebook thing. In fact, I have a post going up tomorrow morning, which is based on it.
Oh,
so
cool.
I republished his Facebook page with some my comments and some comments from some of the Blue America candidates, some of the, you know, real progressive ones. But people can read that tomorrow. I'm still sort of working on it a little bit.
Great.
But the point is, I thought everything he said was right. I agreed with everything, just his conclusion to donate money to Biden, and not, you know, more than even just vote for Biden, but donate money to him as well. I just don't, I'm just not there yet. Mm-hmm. You know, and I, you know, I have a tremendous respect and admiration, obviously, for Bernie, who's endorsed Biden, and for AOC, who says she's about to. But I really don't think of myself as a Democrat. I think of myself as a progressive,
mm-hmm.
and Biden is an anti-progressive and has been since the 70s. I had an anti-Biden piece up yesterday on my blog, and it therefore it went right on my Facebook page as well. And I had 20 or 30 really, really negative comments. The people who I know. Who are actual friends or colleagues or people who I actually know,
mm-hmm.
fine. They're entitled to come on and call me an idiot if they
right.
want to. But people who I don't know who somehow managed to be my friends, and I don't know how they managed to be my friends, I just deleted them.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I won't have to hear from their stupid faces anymore. But some people don't understand it. I mean, you know, someone said, "Well, I guess that means you like Trump." No, it doesn't
no.
mean that I like Trump.
No.
You know, get a brain.
Exactly.
But the thing is, I vote for people who I want to see in office. I don't vote for somebody because the alternative is worse than them. And not everyone agrees with me, and I respect people who don't agree with me. I don't think they're idiots. They're entitled to their opinion. You know, and there was a time in my life when I had that opinion. Where I did vote for the lesser of two evil candidates. But Biden is really bad. And, you know, I was talking with online with Kaniella Ng yesterday, and he said something about how he thinks that it's safer to go with Biden because Trump would start a war with China. And I said, well, you know, look at their two records.
Uh-huh.
You know, Trump is a loudmouth, but Biden has actually been for every war that's come down the pike, and Trump has, you know, for whatever reason, hasn't. I'm not saying that Trump is better. I'm just saying that, you know, you don't know if Biden is going to be the one to start the war. And the other thing with Biden is, and this really is the reason I'm not going to vote for him, I don't think, unless I'm convinced that he's changed,
mm-hmm.
which I can't imagine will happen, but who knows? I'll try to keep an open mind. I will keep an open mind. He's wanted to destroy Social Security
yeah.
and Medicare for
yep.
his whole career. And he's tried. He's tried to do it. He's tried to do it a number of times. He is believes that it's not affordable, that America can't handle it. And, he's absolutely a conservative. He's been a conservative his entire career. He became a Democrat for just random reasons. I mean, you know, he was working in a law firm and a lot of them were Democrats, and he sort of, well, wanted to go along with the gang, so he became a Democrat. But he's really a Republican, always has been. And when it came, he's always been in favor of the grand bargain, which
yeah, that's
is,
right.
which the idea is a balanced budget. It's a completely austerity way of looking
mm-hmm.
at the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Joe Biden, that's him, that defines him. And just like it took Nixon, a conservative Republican, to open up China. A Democrat could never have done it. They would have gotten too much blowback.
Right.
So Nixon did it. And Nixon is famous for that. Whenever you hear people putting down Nixon, they'll always say, but he opened up China.
Right.
And I think Biden thinks he'll go down in history as the guy who, destroyed Social Security and ended that burden on the rich.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Well,
the kind of people that he hangs out with, the kind of people who influence him, they want nothing more than the end of Social Security and Medicare. I mean, you talked about the U.S. being in the Stone Ages in terms of medical condition when we started this discussion, and I agree, but he'll put it in pre-Stone Age, whatever that was.
Right. No, I hear you. I mean, but, you know, you look at some other things, and I came across a post earlier, let me see if I can find it, that told of how much money other nations were giving their citizens as sort of a stimulus during this crazy time. And we're at the bottom end. You know, people have this inflated idea of what America is and how we take care of our people. No, we don't. You put us up against any other civilized nation on the planet, and the United States does not take care of our people. We've got a lot of people going to bed, a lot of children going to bed hungry every night. And again, we're getting $1,200 that's supposed to last us, according to Steve Mnuchin, 10 weeks. Most other countries are right. I know exactly. They're getting
10 weeks. What is that? Like that's $12 a week.
It's $120 a week, but still, You try living on $120 a week. It can't be done. But Steven Mnuchin wouldn't know that because he hasn't tried to live on. You know, his tie probably cost $1,200. So it sucks. So last week, Howie Klein, at the end of the segment, I said, so next week we need to get back to talking about electing a really progressive lineup of candidates in November. We still have an election going on, even though it's not being talked about in the news because everything is the damn coronavirus. What is happening with all the candidates who are usually like dialing for dollars? I can't imagine that fundraising is going anywhere these days, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
It's even some of the candidates have told me it's better.
Wow.
A lot of the candidates told me it's much worse. Some of them say it's getting better. But, you know, a couple of them have said to me that when they used to dial, they got mostly no one home.
Uh-huh.
I mean, most calls, they didn't get anybody.
Right, now everyone's home.
Now they are getting people. And they're also getting people who are so stir crazy that they're just grateful to have someone to talk to on the phone. Literally, candidates have told me that. So quite a few candidates are saying they're doing well. I mean, for example, Mike Siegel, who is a great candidate in Texas, in a gerrymandered Republican district. He almost won it last time. He'll probably win it this time. He just posted the biggest numbers that he's had, you know, over the course of the two cycles.
Really?
So he brought in more money this cycle than he did any time in the entire last cycle, and better than anything else he's done in any quarter. So he's doing fairly well. I mean, everyone really needs help, but you know, compared to how he was doing, he's doing better.
Good.
And other, you know, and people are coming up with ideas for how to, how to make this work for them. You know, in fact, Mike, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, put together a, like an online forum that people can participate in. I think it's on Zoom. And he brought in, you know, a Green New Deal expert from AOC's office to answer questions along with him. That his constituents might have about how the Green New Deal would work and what the very, very important aspects that have to do with employment would mean. I mean, you know, when you talk about protecting people from climate change, you're going to get pretty much every Democrat saying yes. But then you have to talk with them about what it means for employment. And you know, his district is in Texas, and there is a lot of there is blowback. you know, even some of the unions, although the unions have endorsed him, some of them were a little bit reticent. They wanted to understand. And, you know, now Mike has every opportunity to make them understand mm-hmm. and to talk with them about it at great length about what the, you know, how you handle the absolute necessity for making sure that people don't wind up unemployed who are in the oil patch. I mean, his district, although it's primarily in Austin, it goes right into Harris County, which, wow. which is, you know, one of the big oil counties in America.
Yeah. So,
but and it isn't just him. I mean, a number of candidates are telling me that they are, you know, they're having more luck on the phone. Obviously, the candidates who had their whole, you know, their whole plan based on knocking on doors,
right.
you know, they had to throw that out, and they're, you know, trying to scramble to come up with other ways of reaching people. You know, a lot of candidates don't like being on the phone.
Right.
They just don't like
right.
it. Or some candidates can't. I mean, you know, Mike is a good example, in fact, who is having a hard time making enough hours to be on the phone, although he's made the hours he is on the phone effective. And that's because his wife is a veterinarian.
Oh, wow.
And that's essential work. So mm-hmm. she is going to work and you know, taking care of people's cattle. She's not, you know, she's not
right.
a veterinarian for dogs and cats.
Right. She's in Texas.
A veterinarian in a rural area.
Yeah.
And she has to do it. So that leaves Mike with his two kids, and he's, you know, he's homeschooling them now.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, between doing, and they're very young, and between doing that, he doesn't give him enough time to be on the phone and to do
gotcha.
His campaigning
yep.
as much as he needs to, but he's still doing well. So, you know, thank goodness. But anyway, like I was saying, every candidate is trying to, you know, grapple with this and make it work for them. Some are making it work for themselves better than others. And so the ones who are making it work for themselves better than others are, you know, doing well. And they're going to, you know, it helps them towards winning their races. And some of them are having a hard time with it. And a lot of the ones that who are having a hard time are first timers. And,
sure.
You know, you very rarely win as a first-timer, especially a progressive.
Yeah.
Progressives just don't win the first time they run. They're not corporately backed. They don't have huge sums of money to get the name ID that it needs. And, you know, some of our favorite members of Congress over the years won the second time
right.
around.
Donna Edwards
is a good example.
Right.
Alan Grayson is
right.
another
right.
example. Quite a lot of people who almost won last time are probably going to win this time. Like Kara Eastman in Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
She nearly won, and it looks like she will win this time. You know, and like I said, Mike Siegel's another one. Another one is Julie Oliver in a district near Mike's. In fact, Mike was the one who introduced me to her. Her district starts in Austin and goes up towards Fort Worth. And she almost won last time. She did better than most Democrats did last time. But she is this time she's going to – she has a very, very good shot for this second time for winning.
Good.
Yeah.
Did,
so
now,
you know, whereas some of the ones who are just trying and just starting, you know, they're going to have a better shot in the next cycle.
Right. But we'll still keep trying to help them along. I don't know if you saw this. Now, some of the data from Wisconsin's election last week is starting to come out. And I
yeah.
saw something that was mind-blowing. Now, we know Trump went, you know, he endorsed the incumbent Supreme Court justice, the right-wing conservative, who was being challenged by a liberal by the name of Kurofsky. And he said
yeah.
the only reason that they wanted to, you know, postpone the election is because I endorsed the justice. I endorsed Kelly, which is bullshit, but okay, let him have it. Well, Kelly lost big time. And these numbers just came out from Madison. And we know that Madison is very progressive, but listen to these numbers.
By the way, they didn't just come out from Madison. I mean, yes, let's go through Madison.
Yeah.
But they came out from each county.
Okay.
And they weren't all as mind-blowing as Madison. Dane County is what you're talking about.
Okay.
They weren't all as mind-blowing as Dane County, but they were mind-blowing everywhere, including in Republican counties.
Really?
But let's start with Dane.
Okay, this is insane. So they go by wards. So Ward 42, Karofsky got 1,866 votes to Kelly's 43. In Ward 40, 1,841 to 50. Ward 41, 2,066 to 59. These are blowout numbers. This is insane. 1,171 to 47, 1,179 to 50, 2,147 to 93, 1,711 to 77. These are in different wards. It said all 96% plus, all 47 wards, more than 90% of the vote went to Karofsky, the liberal. This was a blowout.
She is a liberal, by the way. She's not like some corporate Democrat.
Right.
Bernie endorsed her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nonpartisan thing. So you're not running as a party person.
Right.
But know that she's a progressive. Bernie was for her.
Yeah.
And you know that the other guy is a right-wing lunatic.
Yep.
Trump was, going nuts on Twitter over him.
Right.
So, but the thing is that Dane County is the fastest-growing county in the state. Dane County is very, very important. It doesn't just have Madison. It has, it has rural areas, but it also has gigantic suburban areas. Mm. Very, very important county. And like I said, the fastest-growing. So that's very, very good news for Democrats statewide, that in an election like this with Trump like pounding
yep.
for Kelly and Bernie pounding for Jill, we wound up winning there. But when the guy who posted that on Twitter this morning posted it, I said, do we have a mirror image of that in Waukesha County, which is one of the big Republican counties?
Right.
It's a suburb of Milwaukee. It's the Republican heartland. It's like what Orange County used to be for the Republican Party
in
Orange California.
Curve, right.
That's what Waukesha County is in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote back to me and said, no. He said, in fact, the Republicans did win. I mean, Kelly won it, but lost so many votes. I mean, went down. I don't remember off the top of my head what it was, but it's like 20% of the Republican vote just disappeared.
Wow.
It's not necessarily that they went to Jill, although some of them did.
Uh-huh.
It's just that they just didn't bother vote. So the whole Republican voter suppression plan by making people go to vote in the middle of the pandemic, by
right.
not allowing absentee ballots to be the period of time to be extended, all that kind of stuff that they pulled, it actually affected their own voters more than it affected Democrats. Democrats were more enthusiastic, and they came out and voted.
Yes.
So, and it wasn't just Waukesha, by the way. It was, Washington County, which is another one just like Waukesha, even redder. And the counties up in the north, a whole bunch of Wisconsin,
Green Bay,
they have
over there.
It's so hard to pronounce the names of the counties. There's so many Indian
yes.
names,
right?
But some of the literally the most Republican counties that have big populations. So I'm not talking necessarily, I don't know, about the little counties that are all rural that don't have anyone living in them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not counting those counties. I'm
okay.
talking about the big ones like Waukesha, which has tons of people. It's a heavily populated suburban county the way Orange County is in California. Those counties stopped voting Republican in to the degree that they were. They're not balancing a county like Milwaukee, which is a blue county, or a county like Dane, which is a blue county. So they're not doing their job. So that's very, very, very good news for us nationally. And it wasn't just it wasn't just Wisconsin where we're seeing that. We're seeing that generally all over the place. I have another post going up that I'm working on now for tomorrow, where I talk about that in terms of the country. I mean, it was a similar thing happened in this was just polling, though, not an election, but the polling in Maricopa County, which is, half of Arizona, or more than half
right.
of Arizona is in that one county. It's the whole population of Arizona is there, and as well as the entire city of Phoenix. And that was that was the biggest county in terms of population that Trump won. Because urban counties didn't go for Trump. They went for Hillary, except Maricopa went for Trump. But now it's turned against him. Now it's turned against Republicans. Now, both the Democrat who's running for Senate is wiping the Republican incumbent
Mark Kelly,
up completely there. Uh-huh. And this polling that I was talking about shows Trump winning significantly, Trump losing significantly to Joe Biden in Maricopa County. So that, and that, I mean, you know, I mean, Maricopa County means something significantly the same way that Waukesha means something, the same way that Orange County, California means something. When you say Maricopa, that is a Republican treasure chest. They don't win elections without counties like that. They can't. I mean, that's where their numbers come from, and they ain't getting them anymore.
Wow. All right. Well, things are looking good. I mean, as good as they can, given the situation we're in. So we have reason to be optimistic that this election could go our way if we're able to have an election. So, you know,
we'll have an election. Yes. The places that are not allowing absentee ballots or that are discouraging them, let's put it like that, God bless.
Yeah.
They're all Republican hellholes.
Yeah.
There are none of those will ever vote for a Democrat anyway. I think there are 11 of them. There are 11 counties now that discourage absentee ballots. There's not one of them that would ever go for a Democrat. So good. Let them not have absentee ballots.
Absolutely. Go stand in line.
Fine.
Go ahead. Right. All right. Well, I encourage everyone to go to downwithtyranny.com. And from there, you click on the link to Blue America. I'll put a link up on my blog at NicoleSandler.com today as well. But go to DownWithTyranny.com and click through to the Blue America link and help out some of these great progressive candidates, because that's the only way things are going to get better is if we make Congress more progressive and flip that Senate, too. So, Howie Klein, we got our work cut out for us in the next 200 days or so. So thank you for your
work. Me too, and I'll see you in 7 of those days.
Yes, you will. I'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Bye. All right. And we're done for today. Don't forget, tomorrow, come prepared because, well, first we'll have a conversation with Ali Velshi. And then Kelly Carlin will help ease us into the weekend and maybe give us some tips to move forward in this weird reality that we're living in with a wonderful guided meditation. All right. So thank you for listening, everyone. Stay safe. This too shall pass, so she says. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.